Hey, welcome back to The Strong Her Way. This is where you will learn how to take a faith-filled approach to create food freedom, a fit life that fits into the rest of your life, and total life transformation. I am your host, Alicia Carlson. Today, I have a very special guest with me talking all about the topic of perfectionism. Renika Cormier is an academic and accountability coach for Christian teens and young adults. She is passionate about helping teens and young adults develop a game plan for conquering school, life goals, time management, college, relationships, friendships, organization, and all the life skills, all while integrating their faith. Renika is passionate about empowering young people with the tools they need to be successful. She does this through her podcast, Real Talk for Teens and Young Adults, virtual Bible studies for both teens and young adults, personal one-on-one coaching, and her live courses. Renika just released an amazing free resource for parents and students who are transitioning to middle school. I definitely needed this about a year ago. Be sure to grab your Success Accelerator for Students guide today to get the 12 tips to prepare your children, your students, for the transition to middle school. So today we are going to be chatting all about perfectionism, the nasty way that maybe our perfectionist tendencies can negatively impact our kids, recognizing the signs of perfectionism in our own children, and then ways that we can work with them to really combat perfectionism. So please tune in as we get started on this conversation.
Okay, so I am Renika, academic success and accountability coach for Christian teens and young adults, and I also host the podcast Real Talk for Teens and Young Adults.
Growing up, we didn't really have social media. We had celebrities, we had magazines, we had movies, those kinds of media outlets that we were always comparing ourselves to. I mean, that was really where I learned who I should be and how I should be. When we compare that to today's teens and young adults and just these younger generations and even ourselves with social media, how do you think that that compares to before when we just had TV, we just had celebrities, and we didn't have quite the access to comparison and to comparing ourselves with other people? How do you think those are different? Do you think one is better or worse? What would you say?
You know, it's hard to not compare yourself to other people when you're constantly looking at basically their highlight reel. And a lot of the young people, they don't realize that you're looking at, nobody's posting authentic pictures most of the time and authentic portrayals of their life. They're posting the best moments mm-hmm. and the best pictures. And so it's easy to try to live up to that. And that's how they spend most of their time, is trying to be something that the person on the other end of the screen is not even living.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think too, we have so much more access to information about that person. So like one thing that comes to mind is before, like if you were to look at a celebrity or something like that, you might be able to figure out how much money they're making every year, but that was kind of the extent of it, right? You didn't Right. know like, oh my gosh, this person has so many followers and this person is getting all these likes. And I think that we have really kind of boiled down our significance to these vanity numbers, right? Because you could have the followers, you could have the likes, but not have genuine connection and relationship. And I do think that that is something that we kind of mistake that, I don't want to say fake affinity for, you know, other people, but I think we can mistake the likes and the comments and the followers for genuine connection and relationship. And it's definitely not the same as like having an actual girlfriend or your best friend as a little kid or as a high schooler or something like that. So that's great. So how do you feel like our perfectionism as moms impacts our kids? And I'm primarily asking for myself because I have a son and a daughter. I think more probably with my daughter, I tend to worry about like, okay, how does my behavior in the way that I'm doing things or the pressure that I put on myself and then end up putting on her, impact her. So I'm curious to know, like, if we are operating in some perfectionism tendencies, how does that impact our kids?
So usually it teaches them, first of all, it teaches them perfection over progress. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of lean towards, instead of me making progress in my life and that being the goal, they want perfection. So, you know, they set up in their mind, this is what I'm supposed to accomplish. And that's the end goal, is that they accomplish that. They don't really care about any amount of progress in their life. They're not focused on, oh, I learned something out of this experience, or I grew out of this experience. It's just, did I make that ultimate goal that I set out to make? And then also, it gives children that critical voice, because that's what's driving us and driving our perfection, is that we have this voice, you know, that's going inside of our head saying, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to be better. And that kind of passes on that critical voice to them. And, you know, as they grow and they mature, then they'll have that same voice in their head driving them towards a constant perfectionism. And then also it lowers their self-esteem, because a lot of times with that critical voice, it doesn't say things that are positive to us. It always tells us that we need to be more, we need to have more, we need to do more. And that just drives them to always feel like they're coming up short, because of course, perfection, we cannot meet the goal at the end of the day. We're never going to be perfect. And more they strive to it, the more and more they feel like they're failing at it. And therefore it lowers their self-esteem. It makes them feel bad about themselves.
So I'm feeling super convicted, especially about like the critical voice. And thankfully, this was something that I feel like the Lord kind of brought to my attention. And like I said, again, especially with my daughter, and maybe you can speak to that too. Like if you're a mom, does it tend to impact, like if you have a son and a daughter, would it impact each child differently? In my opinion, I think so, because I can see, like if I step outside of myself for a minute, I can kind of see the different interactions and the different expectations that I place on each of my children. And part of that is age difference. My daughter's 12, my son is 9. So of course they're not going to, I'm not going to have the same expectations for both kids. But I do feel like within the last couple of months, really, the Lord brought to my attention how critical I was being of my daughter. And I have tried to be less of that, or, you know, to really pay attention to like, what are the words that I'm using? Like, what's the motivation behind me, you know, giving this quote unquote advice or these suggestions, you know, that I felt like were well-meaning, but the heart behind them was kind of ugly and maybe not so well-meaning. But what's been interesting is that I feel like I see some of that criticalness in her coming out towards her brother. And I, you know, I find that I'm like, I get on her because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, don't be so hard on him. And then I'm like, well, like, you were doing that to her for a long time and didn't even really realize like the detriment that that was. And then one thing, as you were saying, like perfectionism is such an unrealistic standard. Although I'm not a huge fan of the person that said this quote, I do feel like there is some validity here. And it's the idea that perfectionism is the lowest standard that you could set for yourself, because like you said, it is something you will never reach. So oftentimes we think like, oh, I'm setting the bar way up here because I want to, hit it out of the park. I want to do it perfectly. I want to, you know, like reach the goal. But in striving for this perfection, and we think that it's like this noble thing that we're doing, we're actually like not really setting the bar very high for ourselves. So I love that you said that. So how do you feel like our perfectionism, like if we're operating from this place, and maybe we didn't even realize that we kind of had these perfectionism tendencies, and you were like me and you thought, I want the best for my kids. How do you feel like that impacts or hinders us having like a genuine and authentic loving relationship with our kids?
Well, generally it makes us overly critical of our kids. And, you know, I am no stranger to this, you know, being a perfectionist myself, you know, I feel the same way. I'm constantly monitoring the things that I say, and we become overly critical of our children. And, you know, almost all of what we're saying to them is a criticism. And whether, just like we say, whether we meant it for good or we meant it, you know, for evil, it comes across as negative to them because it feels like they're kind of being picked apart. And we have less of a close connection to them because when they go to draw close to us, it's always a criticism, or it's always, well, why didn't you do that? Or why didn't you take care of that? Or, you know, what are you doing right now? And so when they try to draw close to us, they kind of get, you know, it's kind of like a drawing close to kind of like a cactus, so to speak. So they just cannot kind of make that close connection that we want to have with them. And so therefore it kind of, you know, creates a barrier between us and our kids in a place that we really don't want there to be a barrier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think too, you know, I wonder if they always have this feeling of like, I have to show up a certain way before I can, you know, come and like be vulnerable. Like, it feels like we're not really giving them the chance. If they feel like they always have to show up a certain way, there's not the opportunity for that vulnerability and to just be messy. And I think at the end of the day, like, that is what we want, is we want that safe place to land. You know, we want our home to be kind of this safe haven that when we go out into the world and we might be getting beat up by teachers or coaches or bosses or whatever, that we have kind of this safe place. But I think sometimes you're right. Like, if we've kind of created this expectation, then home probably doesn't even feel safe. It doesn't feel like a place where you could just be yourself. You could just make mistakes and be silly and be messy. So one thing that I'm wondering is how do we like push our kids to be better without having that critical voice, if that makes sense? So like, how do we kind of encourage them to, you know, try for bigger things, do bigger things? Because I think a lot of times, like, we see their potential and then we see like where maybe they're selling themselves short. So how do we get them to like really lean into that potential without, you know, tipping over the line into that critical voice?
Yeah. So usually I would say, start off with setting realistic goals. So everybody's not good at everything. And mm-hmm. I think that a lot of parents, you know, when they see this great thing in their kids, really, whether the kids want to do it or not, we get all set in our head that, oh, you could be great at that. You could be wonderful at that. But sometimes our kids are just not good at that, or they just don't enjoy it. And so mm-hmm. teach them to go after things that they enjoy. And of course, in school, they're going to have some things that they don't enjoy. But in those things, just shoot for doing your best. Mm-hmm. And if your best is a C, your best is a C. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. So just kind of teaching them to set realistic goals, that they're not, you know, you don't have to get straight A's in everything if that's not your thing, you know. So allowing them that space to be themselves with us. And then also learning how to celebrate the small things. So not having them to only be able to celebrate when you make the straight A's, or only be able to celebrate, you know, when you're the captain of the team and you're the best player on the team. No, it's okay that, you know, you played your hardest or you did your best, and being able to celebrate the small things in life, because, you know, as we become adults, you know, it's going to be important that they learn that, because, you know, adulthood is all about small celebrations. You know, that's kind of what we're doing on a day-to-day basis. And then teach them that mistakes are a learning experience. So many times parents are so afraid for their kids to make their own mistakes, and they want to shield them from those mistakes. And that's kind of what drives that perfectionism too, because you want them to be perfect so that they never make mistakes. But mistakes are learning experiences, and those mistakes help us to grow into stronger human beings. And you can't shield them for, you know, their entire lives. So make sure that they understand that it's okay to fall down, you know, just like you were saying, it's okay to be messy, it's okay to be silly, and it's okay to make mistakes. We all do it. Mm-hmm. And teach them how to be vulnerable and how to be honest through that process.
Yeah, I love that too, because I feel like if we are shielding them and protecting them from ever making a mistake, then when they finally are allowed to make a mistake, and oftentimes it seems like a big mistake, right?
Yes.
That is devastating. You know, that, I mean, could really shatter our whole identity if we've kind of built up this, you know, like, okay, I just have to like do everything perfectly. And then the one day, you know, that first time that you mess up, it can really be like, oh my gosh, like, wow, who am I? Or, you know, there could be those huge consequences that now you're kind of having to pick yourself up and, you know, figure out how to get out of that mess. So I appreciate that wisdom there. So if we start to notice some of these negative outcomes where like maybe there's like distance in the relationship, or, you know, we start to notice our kids being really critical of themselves, critical of others, not, you know, kind of being creative and being willing to try new things. How can we start to, I don't know if heal is the right word, but how do we start to heal the perfectionism either in themselves or in ourselves so that, you know, we don't kind of put that pressure on the kids?
So I would say the first thing is to heal your own self-talk. So I always say that, you know, we can't give to other people what we don't give to ourselves. So until you're able to stop criticizing yourself so much, it'll be harder for you to change the talk that's going out into the world. So make sure that, you know, you're trying to be as positive with yourself as you can, so that then, you know, as you're being positive with yourself, you can be more positive with other people. And of course, that will be your children because they're in your immediate sphere of influence. And then the other thing is to kind of practice the 90-10 rule. And that's something that we even practice, you know, in business, that when you're going to give criticism, that should be 10% of the things that you say on a day-to-day basis. And the other 90% should be positive things. And that was kind of an eye-opener for me because I found that it was totally the other way around with me. I was giving 90% criticism and 10% positive things. So just making sure that we're eyeing that and we're watching that, you know, as we're talking to our kids, how much criticism am I giving as opposed to the positives that I'm saying to my kids on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, that's so good. And I think it always for me, whenever I'm thinking about anything, it's like it always comes back to the heart. Like, what is the heart behind what you're saying? What's the intention? Because I am a firm believer that you could do the exact same thing from a completely different, you know, heart space. Like one is the positive out of love, out of wanting to build somebody up. The other is from like frustration or fear or annoyance or whatever. And you could do or say the exact same thing from those two different places, and the outcome is going to be so different. So I love that 90-10 rule. It's kind of a nice way to think about that. And then I always think about, which I don't know if this applies here, but the compliment sandwich, right? Where it's
Yes.
like you start with something positive, you squeeze in the like, but maybe we could work on this. However, like, and then let's sandwich it with something else positive at the end. So that's good. And I think, you know, you hit on something awesome too. It's like we have to really be cautious, or not cautious, but conscious and aware of what are we saying to ourselves? Like, what are the expectations that we've placed on ourselves as moms, as aunts, as, you know, role models or mentors, in these younger kids' lives? And, you know, I think look from that really objective, kind of separated place of like, okay, where's perfectionism showing up in myself? And even if we're not, you know, actively saying things that would, I think, indicate perfectionism, our kids or, you know, the people that we're in charge of stewarding and mentoring, they see how we treat ourselves or they see the pressure that we put on ourselves. And so it is looking at, okay, like, how am I walking through this? How am I modeling this? And I think it's okay to be open and honest with like, hey, I'm really working on, I see this in myself. I'm really working on this. You know, and even maybe enlisting them to kind of help hold you accountable. Like when you see me doing this, or giving them the permission of when I'm talking to you like this, or when I'm kind of slipping into this, I give you permission to call me out, and I'm going to work on not getting upset or frustrated when you do, because I think that's the other thing, you know, about being sort of in that authority role.
Yeah, because we're scared. We're like, don't point it out all the time when I'm doing it.
Yeah, and my kids totally will. They'll be like, mom, like you're doing the thing again. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, like obviously I am, because I'm having this like fight reaction of like, oh, I know you're right, but crap, I don't want you to be.
Yes.
So you did kind of touch on this, but I would love it if you could give us like maybe 3 to 5 things very clearly that perfectionism might be coming out in our children as? Like, what are kind of those, road signs, if you will?
Okay, I'm going to give you 3. Fear of failure. And this is not talking about like the little, fear that we all have of failure, that none of us want to fail, because failure, of course, is it's negative. Mm-hmm. But this is talking about paralysis, when they cannot move forward most of the time because they're so scared that they're going to have a negative outcome. So this is a child that's extremely anxious, before they do anything, because they're so scared that they're going to have a negative outcome. They never even think that there could possibly be a positive outcome. Mm-hmm. They always go straight to the negative, and it keeps them stuck from doing things. And then the second one would be procrastination. Yes, perfectionists can also be procrastinators. And they're procrastinators because they're stuck in paralysis. So they're just standing there waiting to start things because they're afraid that once they get it started, that they're going to have a negative outcome. And so a lot of times they will not do the things that they're supposed to do because they're scared that they're not going to do them right. And then the third thing would be the all or nothing thinking. So your procrastinator cannot think in grays. Okay. So it's either all or it's nothing. And whenever they have a negative experience, the whole thing turns to negative. So like when you're talking about kids, when they're working on a project or they're working on a paper, one mistake means that I'm crumpling up the whole thing and starting all over again, rather than to work through my mistakes.
That's so good. And I see a lot of that in like the all or nothing thinking, especially with the diet mindset, right? It's like people are either all in and they're all on the workout program, doing the meal plan or whatever, or they're all off. And I get so frustrated when people want to argue that that's balance, right? It's like, oh, I'm so good like during the weekend or the week. And then on the weekends, I just kind of throw it all out, usually because they're so stressed out from like doing it so quote unquote good or perfectly throughout the week.
Right.
It's like, I just need a break. I need to just let things go a little bit. So how do you, what in like one way or something like that, how would you empower and encourage kids to reach for their full potential without that encouragement of perfectionism?
So I would just encourage them to make sure that they're setting those realistic goals for themselves. Make sure that they understand that mistakes are okay, and that mistakes will help them grow. And to make sure that they understand that, perfectionism is not a standard that anybody is able to reach. Mm-hmm. So it's okay to just be themselves. And I kind of, I use this other phrase, is that it's okay to be, a work in progress and a masterpiece all at the same time, and that's perfectly okay. God made you, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and it's okay to be a constant work in progress, because he's going to work on us until he returns.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah. And that is the walk of the Christian, right? It's that realization that we're in this constant process of sanctification and growth and kind of growing into that version of ourselves that he ultimately created us to be. So I love that. Okay. Wrapping up, what resources do you have or offer for dealing with perfectionism in youth?
All right. So I have 2 podcast episodes at Real Talk for Teens and Young Adults. And of course, if you wanted a private coaching call with me on perfectionism, you could set that up as well.
Perfect. And I will be sure that we link up to your show, to your handles and all that kind of stuff in the show notes for easy finding ability, because I can never remember it when I'm listening to the podcast. But where do you hang out the most, and how could people really get in touch with you if they wanted to take action right now?
Okay, so I hang out the most on Instagram, and I am at Renika Cormier 82.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing with us your wisdom about how we can love our kids well and not place any unnecessary expectations on them.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Renika about perfectionism, about comparison, about how we can navigate these tricky conversations with our teens, young adult children, or possibly even children younger than that. If you want to get connected with Renika, learn more about the work that she's doing, be sure to check the show notes for her social media links, website, and to get your hands on that free guide I mentioned in the intro. Thanks so much for choosing to spend your time with me today. I know it's valuable. I know it is precious. I hope that you would take some wisdom with you today. And if you are enjoying the show, please feel free to leave a review. I love seeing how this movement, this mindset is impacting you. So please drop me a review, leave me a note, let me know how this has impacted you, and even let me know what it is that you would like to hear discussed on future episode. Thanks again so much for hanging out, and we'll talk with you soon.